example of public health input into standard development. Okay, this, I don't know how many of you will ever be familiar with this at all. How many of you have ever heard of either one of these, the IMR or the SDMX? Okay, well, that's good news. I'm preaching to the choir. Let's see. Page. Just so everybody's on the same page, a few definitions here that you may or may not be familiar with. I would suspect the one that may be new to some of you is the SDMX, Statistical Data and Metadata Exchange. It's a standard that's been around for quite a while. It emerged out of the EDIFACT standard, if for those of you that are familiar with EDI, Electronic Data Interchange. Originated in the central banking world as a way of exchanging summary data. And what we've done at WHO is our instance of it, we haven't changed the standard, is to help it meet the requirements of public health. Namely, simplistic description of that would be central bankers can sit around a table and agree on what they're going to exchange. Those of us in public health can't do that. So we had to build in a little bit more flexibility to accommodate local customization and harmonization at the international level. Okay, this annoys some people, but I think this is true in the clinical world as well as the monitoring and evaluation world, where I spend most of my time with summary data, that we tend to defer actually working on the semantic content, getting that standardized. We tend to focus on the systems. The problem with that is that computers have a hard time dealing with that ambiguity. And there are a lot of things that affect the interoperability. I'll let you read this, but a lot of it relates to a lack of rigor in the definition of metrics and indicators and weak processes for harmonizing this content. It's only now that, for example, for both clinical concepts and indicators, that we have global facilities available for managing these things. But this presentation will focus on that area that's circled there, the summary data and the content and the message. I'll let you study this at your leisure, but as you can see, interoperability can get to be a complex subject. Okay, this would be a schematic of a monitoring and evaluation, even a disease surveillance system. Not for any one country, but it describes various scenarios here from reporting from local, regional, and national level clinical systems into the monitoring and evaluation system. You can see at the top there, there's an indicator registry where we're beginning to harmonize the indicator definitions to populate these other systems with. This gives us the ability to collect coverage data, for example, from the facility level up through district, national, to the international level. Okay, harmonization. This is what the countries are having to deal with. These documents may be familiar to you. They, in many cases, contain this same indicator, but defined slightly differently. This creates a huge burden for the countries to report the same information in a variety of formats, disaggregated differently, different programmatic metadata, whatever, that makes it challenging for countries to actually streamline their data flows. Here's some examples of indicator definitions from different organizations that I got off the internet. And you can, for the same indicator, you can see slight wording differences between all those definitions. Okay, that's just the name. That doesn't include methodology, rationale, data type, disaggregation, you name it. So this is a huge obstacle in the development of monitoring and surveillance systems. You know, in the clinical world, it's a little bit different. You can't really afford to have these kinds of semantic differences. You might injure someone. In the monitoring and evaluation world, we get away with it because we often compare apples and oranges and talk about fruit, and that's good enough. Okay. The indicator and measurement registry. You know, it's with all these different organizations creating indicators and metrics, there really needed to be a facility for comparing these definitions and trying to harmonize them. And so at WHO, we did that. We created the indicator registry and at the same time tried to incorporate international standards into it so that if you did create an indicator, it would be compatible with whatever international standards were appropriate, the code list or whatever it might be. And to actually attract people to it, you know, one of the last things people do is create a dictionary for the data they're collecting. So we made it very easy to create that, but at the same time, they also got out a computer-readable definition. So this is what it looks like. It's, you know, nothing dramatic. And one of the most important features of it, though, is that it gives different organizations their own view of an indicator. You can see here number of people trained, which is a real indicator, by the way, Global Fund. But each one of these organizations has its own view of that indicator. PEPFAR may have funding mechanism. WHO may have something called topic. You know, if you have a reporting format that's static, I mean, that's what it is, a reporting format. It needs to be flexible so that people can customize it for it to really become a data exchange format that's used at the local level. So you have to be able to accommodate the organization and program-specific metadata that people need. And this is what the indicator registry actually looks like. You can see there's three organizations listed at the top. Each one of those has its own set of metadata associated with an indicator. So you can even the name can change slightly. Okay, that becomes an art and science of knowing how much you can change an indicator before it comes a new indicator, but you can actually link those indicators to each other across organizations. You have WHO specific metadata. For PEPFAR, we've got PEPFAR-specific metadata, technical area, for example. And here we've got one where the name changes, okay? Even though there was a slight difference in the name of that indicator there, it's still associated. And part of the indicator registry, as I mentioned, you can download or create a dictionary and also export the computer-readable format, which is the SDMX HD. HD represents the health domain, not high definition. Here's the dictionary that you can get out of it. And again, all that's customizable. If your program or organization has a different set of metadata, you can change it. Okay, SDMX HD. Okay, as I mentioned, it came out of the banking industry. It is an ISO standard. And I won't go into all this, but there's quite a lot of documentation on it now. Some of these are more relevant to the banking industry, like the EDI format. Okay, how is it different? It's XML. Those of you who are familiar with XML. But what's different about this XML is that it defines the structure of the data as well as the content. Okay, you can specify the dimensions, for example, okay, in the SDMX message itself, so that a receiving system would know exactly what you're sending it. And the way that we extended it was to add the notion of common and custom attributes. Because in public health, you're sending data, you may be sharing data, you may not know where it actually ends up. So you don't have the ability to negotiate with your trading partners to fix what it is you're actually exchanging. Okay, just to reiterate here a bit, the SDMX is the container. The indicator definitions out of the indicator register would be the content. This is analogous to what happens in the clinical world, where you have the HL7 message, okay, is the container, and something like SNOMED is the content. So we actually face some of the same problems with summary data that you do with the clinical data, even though it's much simpler. If you want to see what SDMX looks like, there it is. Again, if you're familiar with XML, some of that looks familiar, and some of it may not. But we have a library of tools both in .NET and in Java for implementing this, so it's not burdensome to actually implement this in a system. We have a website for the SDMX that you can go to read the documentation and to get access to the tools and other material on this. We also supports web services. This is the WHO data warehouse, where it's actually reading the metadata from the indicator registry. People always say, well, who's using it? Well, we started with the public health applications to get more bang for our buck. Some of these you may recognize. Some of them you may not, but there's a variety of systems there that have implemented this and can exchange this summary data using this format. And in some countries, it's been implemented. I was just reading downstairs. We need to add Kenya to that list. They're using the SDMX HD. It's actually taking off in Asia. I think perhaps it may be due to perhaps more infrastructure available there, more capacity. I don't know why, but we've done quite well there. But it's in different places. This was a recent connectathon in the Philippines that they've used to connect insurance and clinical and M&E systems together. Okay, and it provides a migration strategy for countries. You know, you can establish population-based reporting while you roll your clinical systems out. It's not an either-or decision. You may end up with a mix, actually, because if you take the global fund indicators, for example, only about the top 10 global fund indicators, only about half of them actually come out of a clinical record. So you're not going to get all the information you need out of a clinical data warehouse. So having something like SDMX HD available to get data out of other systems is very useful. Here's some links if you want more information on this. We can actually, there's a publicly available indicator registry site for some of the WHO indicators, but if you wanted to, your country or your organization wanted to define its own indicators, we could give you access through the extranet for an account where you could create indicators or search on them if they already exist, which is, you know, something we want people to do rather than create duplicates. And also the websites for the SDMX and the SDMX HD. Okay, thank you. I'll take questions when Beatrice is done. Thank you.